that permission to be able to have that internal investigation, that I really don't need to justify why I chose adults over kids in terms of swimming lessons, because I wanted to, because it felt right to me. There's an internal knowing, and this is good. We can do that. We're allowed to do that. We don't have to have justification for other people. It can be what we desire and what feels good to us.
Welcome to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. I'm Brittany Cates, career coach and fellow career shifter, here to help you leave unfulfilling work behind. Every Thursday, I share stories, strategies, and confidence-boosting insights to help you gain clarity, take action, and create a career you love. Let's shift your day job together. Hey guys, before we dive into today's episode, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you've been feeling stuck in your job, unsure of what's next, or wondering if a more fulfilling career is even possible for you, listen up. I've created what I call the Career Kickstart. It's a 5-day Telegram course designed to help you go from confused and frustrated to clear and confident about your next career move. Inside, you'll get daily audio messages and simple, actionable exercises to help you figure out what you really want and what kind of job aligns with your strengths and values, and how to take your next step without second-guessing yourself. And the best part? It's only $44, but not for long. If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels and start making real progress toward a career that you actually love, DM me the word kickstart on Instagram at shiftyourdayjob, and I'll send you all the details. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. Today, I'm joined by Corey Micah, founder of Calm Within Adult Swim and a trailblazer in adult swim education with over 25 years of experience. Corey's journey from struggling to complete her own swim lessons to empowering adults to overcome their fear of water is nothing short of inspiring. Now, she not only helps individuals become confident swimmers, but also certifies instructors worldwide. Based in Seattle, Corey works with students and instructors across the globe, from the US to the UK to Singapore, and even hosts transformative swim retreats that combine travel and skill building to help participants embrace the water in incredible settings. In today's episode, we'll dive into Corey's inspiring story, how she turned her passion into a global business, and the lessons she's learned about resilience, mindset, and taking the plunge, literally and figuratively. Join me in welcoming Corey to the podcast. Hi, Corey. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Brittany.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So you are a swim instructor, and yet once upon a time, you were afraid of swimming in the water. Is that what I'm understanding?
It's more I was afraid of the class, like the structure, the pushing, the as a child. So this is a kid when I didn't finish swimming lessons, but it was the what I perceived as the trickery that was happening there. Swim out to me. Okay, but don't back up. Okay, I won't back up. And then they back up. I'm like, I'm not having any of that.
Yeah, interesting, like that trust factor, right? As a little kid trying to figure out, okay, who can I trust? And if I can't trust you in my swimming lessons, I don't want to do it.
Yes, which is really where I don't share the fear of water piece, that piece of the journey that my clients have. But it's exactly what you just said there. It's that trust. It's learning who and what and how to develop trust. And how to also, what I did amazingly, and I think what set me up to run this business and to do other kinds of coaching, is at that young age, I listened to myself and my body told me stuff like, let's have an ear infection so you don't have to go swimming. Let's have stomach cramps so you don't have to go to your swimming class. Somehow I never had those things when I used to go to the public swim. That's how I taught myself. Is I would go to public swims, but I'd never have a stomach ache or an ear infection from those experiences. So at that very young, tender age, I just tuned into something doesn't feel right here. I'm not going for it, but I'm not letting it stop me either, finding my way.
Interesting.
I love the trust piece because it's always, no matter what age you are, it's going to come up in different scenarios, depending on who you are and your experiences. And secondly, that listening to your body. And thirdly, talking about your childhood and like listening to your inner child.
So I revealed something that I have not revealed before previously. I said, as a kid, I didn't have trust and it showed up in my body. And I don't usually talk about that, but I did today. It just came forward. And then I went into a coughing fit. That actually, I think, is the reason why that coughing fit was so bad. Because my body decided to say, hang on, don't be so vulnerable, revealing her. So, well, I do cough sometimes when recording a podcast, but never that bad.
Yeah.
I had to give it a second to settle in. So thank you for giving me space to let my body process what it needed to, which is what we all need to do. So I appreciate the gracious space for that.
Of course. Yeah. It's thank you so much for being willing to share it, especially since it's not something you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can continue talking about it a little bit throughout and that you're ready.
Yep. No, it's calmed down. That's why I not only just let the cough run itself through, but did some tapping because I knew it needed a little extra love.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So here we go.
All right. If you don't mind starting off with your career journey. So what were you doing before swimming, or like how did it evolve to get where it is today?
Yeah, it's so fun to think about this, especially we're evolving right now too. I'm evolving. And so I literally before coming on the call was working on the company history. So it's top of mind. But teaching swimming was something I had always done through high school and college. And then, but it didn't seem like that's not something grownups do. Right? You don't get to do the thing that you love or you just have an affinity towards. You have to go out and go to college and get a degree and get into a profession. And so I was along that track. I was along this track going towards becoming an occupational therapist. And so it's similar, right? Working with people in their bodies and dabbling around at that time and getting ready to go back to graduate school. And my then boyfriend at the time, but now husband, and I just on a whim decided to start the swim school. Why not? We don't have anything to lose at this time. We didn't have kids, weren't married, didn't have a house, all those things. Give it a whirl. And so we did. And then I found out, oh gosh, you actually can do the thing that you love and the thing that you are drawn to and have passion to. It took me a while to be able to own into, as you said, you're a swim teacher. And I could hear that little voice, Pete, this is, you're only a swim teacher, right? Not that's what you were saying to me. But I've had CEOs that come in and take classes from me and ask that question. And I think, do you think only somebody that you want to put only in front of could handle you and your type A personality a little bit more than a 16-year-old doing their thing? But yeah, so that's how we got started into it on a wing and a prayer to put it out there.
Yeah. How long were you still doing is it physical therapy? Is that what you said? Occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. How long were you doing occupational therapy before you went all in on this swim school?
Yeah. So I actually was in the process of applying to graduate school. So I was pretty early on in the investigative phase. I was in that post-college. I had moved to Seattle to do a one-year volunteer program. And so getting back into aquatics was the right thing to do while I was doing that. And so I stumbled my way back into aquatics because of having not had an income from that year. That was an easy job to go to while I figured out that next phase.
Okay.
Pretty early on.
So never quite made it to the occupational therapy master's program. And you and your husband decided, let's do this full-time swim school.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So we jumped into that. And so we really jumped in and how when I was looking at the transitions of our company and my career path, we started with the low-hanging fruit, which is teaching kids. That's what swim schools do. They teach kids. You think of swimming lessons, you think of teaching kids. So we were doing that for a number of years. I was doing that for a number of years. But quite frankly, I enjoyed the aquatics part. I didn't really enjoy the teaching the kids part. I was very happy to get into sort of that management part and running the company versus being in doing that day to day. So the number of years later in 2016, when I had this really pinnacle moment, and literally it was a pinnacle moment because we were on a chairlift to the top of a mountain in Palm Springs. I was just so overwhelmed and stressed with, I just have to keep doing this job, which was teaching kids swimming lessons. I have to keep doing this. I have to keep going. It is now providing for our family, right? It's now a successful business. It's like what you do is to keep growing this kids, but I did not enjoy it. So on this chairlift, I finally realized I can sell the part of the business that I don't enjoy. And I can retain the part of the business I actually do enjoy and brings me life and energy and creativity, which is the adult part of the program that we started with. So that's really the big change, career change within my own sphere. But I didn't think it was possible or allowed or able to do that. So it really does feel like this literally got to the top of the mountain. I'm like, I can do that. It's okay. This is allowed.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience, because I think it's a good example of stepping away from your day to day and getting yourself into an environment and a situation that's different than your norm. And then you have these like aha moments while you're out there about your day to day life, because there's this feeling of freedom and trying something new or being in a new place. Your mind opens itself to possibility, I think, more when you're in those situations.
For sure. Because in the day-to-day, I'm answering questions. I keep moving the machine forward. And I have to be in the process of moving the machine forward. But yeah, in that open space, I love with my office manager, we oftentimes call each other and we're like, I just took a shower. Because that's that mini space, right?
Yeah.
That mini space of stepping away. And the shower thoughts, the shower ideas, the getting that perspective. But so important to have regular spaces and time to have that perspective and opening.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a trip or you don't have to be in the mountains. It just needs to be, you need to make the space for it. So I love that. So I'm curious what was your inspiration for teaching adults? And it's just not like the norm, right? You don't think about that. Like you said, you think about teaching kids, but what was your inspiration for, I'm going to teach adults, and what can you share exactly what you teach adults?
Yeah, I was in a space. I can think of one student in particular. There's always this highlight moment that I had a student and I taught her to swim across the pool. And she swam across the pool. And anybody walking in would be like, oh, look at Jane. She just swam across the pool. She took swimming lessons. She can move her arms and legs and kick, and she's doing it. It's swimming. And then I asked her, so how was it? And she said, I have no idea. This like deer in the headlights look. And I'm thinking, okay, she's doing everything I'm asking her to do. I'm asking her to do all the things I noted. Ask her to do. We're just like focusing on all of the mechanics, right? Arms and legs. But it didn't correlate into her having a deep understanding or trust in herself or in the water. So that is where working with the adults became very interesting to me. And it was something that I had seen over and over again, but it was really that moment that I said, hang on. I really need to do something different here. I really need to find some other way to work with her. And that was really about understanding the mental components that go into learning something new or doing something new. Like we just talked about that pinnacle moment, you need space to process the mental side, not just doing the tasks. And so that's why I love working with adults in swimming and in other arenas too, of this idea of how do I combine both? Doing those physical tasks, whatever that checklist is, but having my internal narrative come along for the ride in a way that helps me feel successful, not just look successful.
I love that because it goes along with what you're talking about before you had that aha moment. Like, I can do whatever I want in my business. You were just going through the motions every day. This is what I have to do. And I think we can all relate to that. And it's okay. But how does that feel to you? How does that feel in your mind and your body as you're doing those things? And a lot of times we disconnect, right? Our brain is disconnected from our body and our society is very cerebral, right? And so I love that reframe of, okay, I'm doing all these things, but it's not about the doing, really. It's about the why behind it. Why am I doing this? And if I don't love it, why am I still doing it?
Yeah, and that permission to be able to have that internal investigation that I really don't need to justify why I chose adults over kids in terms of swimming lessons, because I wanted to, because it felt right to me. There's an internal knowing. And this is good. We can do that. We're allowed to do that. We don't have to have justification for other people. It can be what we desire and what feels good to us.
Yeah, especially I think of when we're doing something with our best intentions. It's not like we're making this like change that's going to be horrific and it's going to, but people get so scared of the unknown. And so I don't know, trusting, not only trusting yourself, but maybe talking to people outside that are maybe not as supportive as they could be, but saying, hey, trust me, like trust that I'm doing good, that I'm doing something good, that I'm doing something that is aligned with me and that it's going to be successful because of that.
And I think that's a hard thing to ask of other people, to say, trust me, because what I notice from my clients or even my own internalness is I'm not really taught to trust myself. And so to ask somebody else to trust me means that I have had space to learn to trust myself. My spouse, he's now a firefighter and I'm on these firefighter groups, Facebook groups for spouses. They all say wives, but we're spouses. There's men out there too. How often I see people put up, how would you feel? How should you feel? Types of questions in this scenario, like putting out a scenario. And I always just want to hug these people and say, how do you feel? You're allowed to feel how you feel. Like, let's be inquisitive about your internal knowing, because that's what really matters at the end of the day. Because when we get quiet and we can take in the other information, right? When I decided to sell my three quarters of my business, it was a lion's share of my business. I did take outside counsel in terms of how to do that and to consider how I take the nugget I had left and to build that. But it's bringing that in and then having pause and bringing self-awareness on what's going on inside of me. Like me as a little kid, I don't really trust you, swim teacher, who keeps playing trickery. It's my job to listen to me and still find my way forward. There's a pathway for me.
Thank you for sharing that. So I want to dig a little bit more. I want you to elaborate more on how you did start taking that nugget of your business and growing it and expanding and becoming this global company. What did that journey look like?
Yeah, that's a journey still in progress, like most good journeys are. So that journey, what that really looked like was letting go of that one piece so that, and to be able to honor that, what I guess what I want to say there is it was really amazing to be able to see when I let go of that part of how it flourished in a way that I wasn't letting it flourish because it really wasn't what I wanted to be doing. And so that was a wonderful step. To be able to see that, to be able to let it go and to watch it flourish and expand. And that sort of helped in my own letting myself flourish of, let me feel into me and get curious about what I would like to do and where I'm at. And that became things like, for me at that time, it was leaning into way more curriculum development, writing, expanding my own ideas and my own thoughts and putting them into the world, which helped me grow myself and grow that reach and grow what it is that we were leaning into. Because it was a bit of an unknown. Some of it was known, but how we went from, yeah, doing some what we had been doing before on a small scale to being able to go take people to Hawaii, to be able to train instructors, that required me having a belief and a vision and some space to really develop and dip my toe out, put little pieces out and see what sticks and what doesn't stick, either in terms of on the marketing side or just even for myself. Yeah, this seems, and I can keep leaning into that also.
Yeah, like looking at it as an experiment and seeing what works and what doesn't and continuing to see what's resonating with you in the process along the way. And I'm curious, I'm just thinking of this concept of finding your people. If you do what you love, you're going to find the people that gravitate towards that. Like it's like the concept of there's something for everyone. So I guess I'm curious, what types of people do you tend to attract into your program because they resonate with your vision and what you're doing?
For sure. Yeah, that's an interesting question and thought. Makes me smile now too, in terms of we used to attract people who were a bit older, maybe in the more like early retirement sort of age. Now they're younger. They're in their 30s. We get both for sure. But we definitely have a big pocket of people who are younger in their professions and they're seeking out, that's not all I want in my life. Is it for to be my job? I want to make sure to keep developing my personal interior life. We also attract people who they want to go beyond what I would say vanity metrics about, it's not just about ticking off the box. They know, I want to feel a particular way when I'm doing this. I want to know that I'm safe. This is more than just moving arms and legs, and I'm willing to do that work. So there are some people who just tell me the arms and legs. Great. That's fine. That also tells me either they're not ready for the interior work or they're already capable of doing that interior work from other experiences. They've learned how to do that maybe in other ways.
Interesting. And can you describe what a typical program might look like for someone? Is it a certain number of days or weeks, or what does it look like?
Yeah, our signature course, it's a 18-hour course, and it meets for 6 3-hour sessions. Because we're coming from a mindfulness approach, the first hour is actually on land and we're teaching about how you integrate mindfulness concepts into the physical activity. And then when we're in the water with folks, we have a progression, obviously, of how we're teaching people. But the wonderful piece of it is it's not about being perfect and getting all of one thing done and then you move on to the next. There's 5 different areas that we're pushing into and playing into, and different people get further down one road, let's say, than the road. Like somebody's, yeah, I feel really happy back floating, or I feel really happy front floating, and they progress at different rates, but they all integrate together, which is where I think all life happens that way, that it's not about becoming perfect in any one area, but it's about letting the different areas integrate and develop and help each other along the way. So we're starting people from the very happy with our big toe in the water to jumping into the deep end.
Interesting. I love it. Okay. And then look at your topics that you shared and maybe pick one to elaborate on. Okay. We have talked a lot about the mental piece and the confidence. So can you share with me how self-doubt and fear can be overcome using swimming as an example?
Yeah. So One of the beautiful things about using swimming as a tool to overcome self-doubt or fear is because you get really immediate feedback right away. And it is something that you actually have to pay attention to. So at the end of the day, we have some primary fears, like fear of being left out, right? When we think about or being ostracized, like why are people so afraid of giving speeches? Because they're going to embarrass themselves and they're going to be kicked out of the tribe, so to speak. And it feels like you're going to die. People don't, by and large. But in swimming, people do. This is a true thing that happens. And so we come about it in this different way. Hang on, that's actually factual. So I do need to actually slow down and pay attention to the times and places that I have confidence in myself. And then what's the time and place where I don't have confidence? We're always looking for that line. And instead of saying I should push past it, which then you stay in this lack of confidence or self-doubt comes back over and over again. But if we can find out where that line is of, no, I know I'm good here. And in the water, good looks like I can get air easily anytime I want. And I know I'm in control of myself. And so it's even just when I'm sitting next to the pool, my heart rate and my brain is going crazy. Like I can't breathe and like I'm drowning. But wait a second, I'm sitting next to the pool. So now we can identify, is this a problem of my mind or is this a problem of reality? And this helps people be able to choose which path. And then we go, oh, no, I am actually confident that I'm not going to drown sitting next to the pool. And so now I have a new place. Instead of just letting my brain go crazy, I can actually come in and see, no, and I'm the one who decides if I will sit in the water. Yeah. And keep moving it piece by piece like that.
Yeah. I love that idea of you can see the immediate result. Because in the scenario of preparing for a presentation or talking to people, you have all this time in between to ruminate and create those worst case scenarios and build up that anxiety. But sitting by the pool, you can see exactly, no, this fear is not rational. I am in control and I can make choices for myself how I want my mind to be working and processing this situation.
And that's why we practice these things ahead of time. You go stand in the podium and see, oh, I think I'm gonna die. No, actually I'm not. Practicing that enough times till the somatic experience of it is able to match the reality. And we practice these things incrementally. And that's why doing something like learning to swim gives somebody that practice that then carries over to giving a speech or talking to your boss or having a hard conversation or making a decision, right? You're looking at folks who are making a decision between careers to be able to stop and tune in, to have something that doesn't feel that high stakes. I practiced making decisions over here in, let's say, learn to swim, but I practiced a way of tuning into myself to make a decision. Now I'm better at doing that and I can apply that over into making a decision. Am I going to die if I change jobs or not? Or are there incremental steps and an incremental process to be able to do that, that I can retain a sense of calm confidence through it?
Yeah, I have proof over here that I've done it once. I can do it again and recreate it in different scenarios over and over again, building that confidence piece.
I have a process. We call it foundations of change, but I have a process in which how to make change in my life, and you get to practice it in different areas.
Yeah. So I'm also interested in talking a little bit about the benefits of physical activity in achieving mental clarity and confidence. And I thought that would be an interesting topic to discuss because, like we mentioned earlier, you're in your head a lot. So I'm curious to know, how is, in your experience, physical activity going to benefit the whole process of decision making?
Yep. So when we're, so our process, we talk about foundations of change, that it's two part mental to one part physical. You need to have a physical action step. And that's because we need to first be grounded in the mental steps. And then we need to choose a physical action step that is enough that you're actually doing something. You're not just swirling in your head over and over again, because we will just keep swirling around in our head. And how you get out of that is to take an action. And so we find an action step, we find a physical step that is an actual step, but it's not so big that we completely freak out and we completely overwhelm ourselves. And so we have to jump out of the game completely. I'm not going to have people jump onto the deep end to start with, even though there's lots of stories of my uncle throwing me in the deep end, right? There is this whole myth of jumping into the deep end, either literally or as a metaphor. But that's a great way for us not to do anything at all. But it's finding a physical action. So you have new feedback in the world. Not the feedback if you're good or bad or right or wrong. But this is a new piece of information. I now have a new story I can say about myself, that I engaged with this physical activity and I survived. Yeah, for myself, like I do cold water exposure going into cold water. And it is about, I said, okay, all I have to do, I have to start with walking down to the lake. If you walk down to the lake, then you're winning. Great. I'm at the lake. Okay. So putting my feet in, I don't have to hold or plunge in and do all the things, but I have to keep taking action steps and then minding my mind with those action steps.
Yeah. Interesting. Minding my mind. I think that's interesting. Yeah. Because it's the feedback that you're getting in the process of taking the action or after the fact, either way. But yeah.
Both and.
Both and. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Like I walk down to the water. I'm still alive. It's okay. I put my toe in. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, being like, look, I survived the whole thing, the whole plunge kind of.
Yeah. Or part of the plunge. And we could decide how we want to show up for ourselves in the after. That's really an important piece, I think, because we oftentimes avoid doing something, sometimes because of the potential result. So the cold water will say, it feels terrible. I don't want to ever feel being that cold and miserable. So we avoid doing it for that. But the other reason why we avoid doing things is how we're going to talk about and to ourselves after, oh, you really sucked at that. You should have done it like this. Why didn't you do this sooner? Everybody else got in for 2 minutes and you got in for 1 minute. Right? We're not very nice after we take an action. And that is so important. It's so important to decide ahead of time, how am I going to treat myself afterwards? If I know I'm going to treat myself well, even if, yeah, you know what, this time I didn't get in, but I'm going to still treat myself with kind curiosity. Huh, I wonder what was blocking me today. I wonder if there's something else I needed. What else could I set in place for myself so that next time I will get in? There was some reason why I didn't get in. Let me be curious and loving with myself about what that is, so now I can solve for that problem instead of just beating myself up and going back to whatever it was I was doing or not doing before.
Yeah. It takes me back to the inner child, or like, how would we treat a child that one day is standoffish and another day is ready to go, right? And doing that for ourselves. And it's interesting how we lose that along the way as we get older, that compassion for ourselves and that curiosity piece. And so now that it's recognized, it's just practicing it over and over again.
For sure. Especially when you're talking in the work environment, because we need metrics. People are always about metrics. Mm-hmm. And you reward. Society rewards the result. We don't really reward the process.
Right.
But without a good process, we don't get good results.
Mm-hmm. And when we constantly focus on the result part of it, it limits the capacity for those results because we haven't really invested in our internal processes of how to actually grow and change and do new things.
I love it. It's just making me reflect on the like instances in my life and working on the compassion piece, which has been a while now. I'm working on that with myself, but yeah. And then just being able to notice the moments where I'm like, hey, I did that the other day when I was very much, it's okay. You're alone. Don't worry about it. Next time.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. And I'll say playing devil's advocate, there's the other side of it too, of we need space to just do things, habit things, right? It's less mentally energy. So yeah. It's okay yeah. if you're just doing your job, right? And you're like, but we want to have those spaces and times to be able to reflect and open up and see, wait a second, have I gotten so down the line of just ticking those boxes, just running the machine, but I don't really have that passion and pleasure and those other internal fulfillment pieces going along with it.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, it's a thing that I talk about often, but because of something that I'm learning, it's an aspect of being human, right? Like we're multifaceted and everything is nuanced and it's not always black and white. And you often have to give yourself permission to get the job done over here and then also give yourself permission to rest over here and then give yourself permission to intentionally reflect over there. And it's not all going to be just one thing at one time.
Yes.
Ever. So,
yeah, it's a beautiful, changing, evolving process. Yeah.
Corey, thank you so much for this discussion. I really enjoyed it. And I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing some things that maybe you don't normally talk about. So thank you very much. If somebody is interested in learning more about the swim school and what you do, can you just tell us a little bit more about that and how they get in touch?
Sure. AdultSwimLesson.com. is where you can see all of our retreat programs and instructor programs. And we have a super fun water-based retreat that's not a learn-to-swim one that's coming out this year that really is integrating the somatic activities and so how you can bring those into your life. And it's going to be in Mexico, so I'm super excited about that new offering we have this year. But so adultswimlesson.com is the website, and then Calm Within, Adult Swim. That's where you can find us in the social medias.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. If you've loved this episode, leave a review. It helps more women find the show. Feeling stuck in your career? Let's connect. Follow me on social media at Shift Your Day Job or email me at shiftyourdayjob@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Brittany Cates. Let's shift your day job together.